how do you picture a prophet? Most folks probably think of a man with wild hair and a long beard, blazing eyes, a thundering voice pronouncing doom. Modern day people don't look to such messengers from God to reveal His plan for their lives. They think of that as kind of odd, kind of strange. Today, astrology is in. So are seers, psychics, mediums, palmistry, communication with the dead, and witchcraft. You might think that that was something for an older age, hundreds of years ago, and we've gone so far beyond that. That's not true. This is the age of spiritism. According to one source, about 1950, 100 newspapers carried daily horoscope columns. 20 years later, in 1970, that number jumped to 1,200, from 100 to 1,200. In the 1980s, two-thirds of all U.S. daily newspapers carried horoscopes. There are at least 10,000 full-time and 175,000 part-time astrologers just in our country alone. And in 2014, the National Science Foundation reported that 45% of adult Americans believe astrology is scientific. Today, you don't even have to buy a newspaper to get your horoscope. You can find it on Facebook, a host of psychic websites. You can even have them delivered daily via email right to your mailbox. Go to a local bookstore and you'll find such titles as Astrology for Everyday Living, Astrology Made Practical, Fortune Telling with Cards, Dreams and Your Horoscope, Your Character in the Stars, Numerology, Your Future in Your Hand, meaning reading your palms, Astrology Answers Your Questions, Astrology, Mythology, and the Bible, Astrology and Your Destiny, The Tarot Revealed, if you're not sure what that word is, we'll tell you in a minute, and Your Sun, S-U-N, Personality. Then you get into the specialized books, Baby's First Horoscope. Oh, isn't that sweet? Astrology for Teens, How to Find Your Mate Through Astrology. There's the Astrological Guide to Good Health, the 5-Year Diet and Horoscope Plan, Cooking with Astrology, and Zodiac Cookbooks. There's the Astrology in the United States. There's even Astrology for Hounds and the Cat Horoscope Book. No, I did not make that up. What used to be something that was hidden and underground, and frankly even illegal in some places, is now just put right out in the open. You can drive down the roads in some places, and you'll see signs advertising palm reading, tarot card reading. Others claim they can reach departed spirits for you. Maybe some of you have seen the one show I believe is still on the air, Long Island Medium. It's a woman who claims she can have contact with departed spirits. There was a show, I don't know if it's still on, called Crossing Over, that dealt with the same thing. And they make these practices seem acceptable, even desirable. Add to this the growing popularity of Wicca. Have you heard that word? It's just another name for witchcraft. But it's becoming very acceptable in our culture. You have occult rituals, spells, divination, in attempt to gain power over people and nature. Erwin Lutzer observes, the lure of the occult is everywhere, in television, the internet, bookstores, movies. Although at one time it existed on the fringe of society, today it's in the mainstream. This snare beckons us with the bait of curiosity, secret knowledge, fulfillment, and power. And there are as many different lures as there are interests among the masses. Today, occultism is no longer disguised, but exists openly for all to see. Now, as I mentioned in the past, these occult practices used to be looked down upon and even outlawed. You might notice, and I hope you don't, but if you ever see a horoscope, I hope you don't read yours, but if you do, down at the bottom there's a little phrase, for entertainment purposes only. I always thought that was just like a legal nicety they could put in there, so if it doesn't really come true, you can't go back and sue them. Actually, it's necessary because there are several states where horoscopes are still illegal unless for entertainment purposes only. So they have to throw that in there to be legal. Even the word occult used to imply satanic or demonic activity, and it would send shivers down the spines of people. Nowadays, it's talked about openly, and it's acceptable. Now, in case that term is new to you, the term occult derives from a Latin word which means to cover up or to hide. It means hidden, secret, dark, mysterious, or concealed. It's used to describe phenomena which transcend or seem to transcend man's senses and the realm of natural experience. It goes beyond what we're able to perceive. Now, occultism is not new. Archaeology has discovered from ancient Babylon and Sumeria, the earliest of civilizations, that they were into the occult even back then. The 12 signs of the zodiac, that came from Babylon 3,000 years before Christ. So this isn't anything new. Egypt, Greek cultures, Roman Empire, they are rich in this kind of demonic display. The great ethnic religions of India, China, Japan, as well as the animism of Africa, South America, and many of the island nations abound with occultism and demonism. It's something that is all around the world. And with our advances in science and technology, you might think, again, that these things would be have gone by the wayside, but in fact, they have not. And it brings us to the question, what should be the Christian's attitude toward these things? What does it have to do with biblical prophecy, which we have begun to study in our last message? You might be surprised that one passage in Scripture brings all of this together. And it's that passage we mentioned earlier, Deuteronomy chapter 18. And I'd like to read verses 9 through 14 for this evening. Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 14. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, who interprets omens, who engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery and divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. In this passage, the Lord is very clear that His people are to have nothing to do with spiritism of any kind. The Israelites were forbidden to have contact with anyone who claimed to communicate with the unseen world. Eight means of communication with the spirit world are given. They include one who practices witchcraft, like a witch or a warlock, a soothsayer, old-fashioned word for a seer or someone who could predict the future, one who interprets omens. That would include palm reading. It could be a fortune teller. It could be one who reads tarot cards and interprets your future based on these cards. We used to talk about the crystal ball gazer. That comes from way back in the ancient world, and it's included here. A sorcerer. We might call them a witch doctor today. One who conjures up spells, like a wizard. a medium, one who, we know that word, one who says they can communicate with the dead, those who call up the dead. See, some of these professions overlap one another. And all these things that God spells out here in Deuteronomy to the Israelite people as they're about to go in the promised land, he says, I don't want you to have anything to do with this. These are the exact reasons why I'm kicking these nations out before you. Don't you get involved with it. So it's very clear we are not to have anything to do with it. One reason that Christians today should avoid all such things is what I'm calling the absurdity of Spiritism. Have you ever thought about the claims of these people? Consider the common horoscope. Is it even rational to think that thousands, maybe millions of people who were born on a certain day, they're all going to have the same experiences, they're all going to have the same life circumstances? It doesn't even make sense, does it? If astrology was true, wouldn't twins have exactly the same lives, the same experiences, the same destiny? But we know that's not the case. Even identical twins that you can't tell apart to look at them can be very different in personality and very different in their life experience. But if the horoscopes were true, that wouldn't be the case. I mentioned astrology, which is the determination of one's future by the movement of the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets. Do you know there are nearly 50 different kinds of fortune telling? They get very, very specific. I've got a list of them here. I'm not going to read them all. But some of these are just amazing. There's something called augury. This is telling your future by the flight of birds. They look at the migratory patterns of birds and they tell your future by it. Cartomancy is the using tarot cards or other kinds of cards that are supposed to predict your future. I can't even say some of these words. Crystallomancy is the crystal ball using. Then there's the they would sacrifice an animal and look at its organs, you know, and that was something the Romans did a lot back in the day. Here's one you've probably heard of, feng shui. You heard of that? Feng shui. It's an oriental. You hear it a lot in, I guess it's because Tammy watches a lot of design shows. I hear this a lot on HGTV. It talks about balance. Everything has to be in perfect balance. But it's also a way of telling future. It's a form of fortune telling. Hydromancy, looking at water, gazing at water, and they can tell you what your future is going to be. Palmistry, reading the palm, the lines in your palms of your hand. There's just an amazing number of these things that people claim they can use to tell your future, tell you what's going to happen next. Then you get into the whole area of those who claim to have contact with the dead. Now, I'm going to be right up front with you. Almost all of it's faked. People who have researched this and studied it figure that at least 90% is falsified. The person themselves knows that it's fake. It's a scam. Okay, so most of the time, they're putting on a show. And they have different ways that they can do that. One website revealed how some of this is done using one of the TV shows that's out today. How many of you have heard of the Long Island Medium? Maybe not even seen the show, but you've heard of it. I think it's on TLC, one of those networks. The lady's name is Teresa Caputo. And like so many so-called psychics and fortune tellers, she uses a technique called cold reading. This involves using clues or cues from the client to make some educated guesses that are phrased like questions about the dead individual who supposedly steps forward. For instance, when a young brown-skinned woman and a young brown-skinned man came to see Teresa about their young deceased brown-skinned friend, Teresa asked if the guy was into hats or caps. The answer was yes. Imagine that, a young black guy into caps. What are the odds? In another episode, she asked a couple of brawny, blue-collar Italian guys if their late friend liked to drink and party. Oh, he loved hanging out and drinking, they said. It really seems like she's shotgunning and shooting for stereotypes. But she always does it in the form of a question, and sometimes they say, well, not really. She can branch that into something else. There was another show that was called Crossing Over, a guy named John Edward, and he also claimed to have contact with the dead. 10 years ago, Time magazine reported that producers manipulated clips of his show to make it seem like people were nodding in agreement when they really weren't. They went back and edited the show later, and his mistakes or miscues were all edited out. In addition, they found that he was eavesdropping to find out about his audience and so that he could appear to be clairvoyant. Edward once told a Dateline NBC reporter that he had sensed the soul of a father named Anthony in the room, but later he admitted that the cameraman named Tony had already admitted that his father had died. So they use these gimmicks, they use these tricks. There has been even cases where these people have planted microphones out in the audience and they hear people as they talk. Or they'll have people go and kind of interview people as they're coming in, and then they feed the information to the person up front. Makes it appear that they know things that they wouldn't otherwise have known. You know, I think such fraudulent practices date back to biblical times as well. I think they were faking it then too. I believe that there is only one time in recorded human history that a seance actually worked. We won't turn to it today, but if you would like to look at it, it's in 1 Samuel 28. It's when Samuel the prophet had died. And King Saul really relied on Samuel for guidance. And now Samuel was off the scene. Now, Saul had ordered all of the witches out of Israel, and if there were any witches around, they were to be put to death. But Saul came into a situation. He was about to go into battle with the Philistines. He was really worried about what was going to happen, and he said, "Go find me a witch." And somebody said, "Well, there's a witch down at Endor." He said, "All right." So he disguised himself, and he goes to this witch, and he says, I need you to call up the spirit of someone who's died. I need to hear from him." And she says, "Okay, who is this?" And he says, "Samuel the prophet." Now, Samuel was a very well-known person all throughout Israel. And I think that probably, you know, kind of got her antenna going. This is not the normal, "I want to hear from Uncle Joe or, you know, Aunt Betty." This is something more than that. So she does her little thing. She does her incantations and stuff. And we are told in Scripture that the spirit of Samuel appeared. This was no fake. This was the real deal. What I find so fascinating about that passage is the reaction of the witch. She about lost her mind. She screamed. And then, whether by divine enlightenment or she just put two and two together, she realized this is King Saul. This is the guy that's putting to death witches. I'm in trouble now. But I've always thought, why would she have reacted so strongly when Samuel appeared if that's what happened all the time anyway? I freaked her out because she knew this was the real thing and she wasn't ready for it. And of course, it was Samuel's spirit, and he said, in essence, to Saul, "You're going to join me here tomorrow. You're going to die." And it did happen. I think that's the only time in one of these seances, or whatever you call it, that it actually worked, actually brought a dead spirit. Now, I do believe there are times when demons impersonate dead people. I do believe that happens at times. And I believe that sometimes these seance workers and these mediums actually are in working with demonic powers. So they will imitate a dead person and fool the one who has come to them. But here is a case where it really was Samuel, and that witch knew something extraordinary was happening. You know, I don't know if she had, you know, cans or things, you know, that she could pull a string and make noises here and there. That's how some people do it today. But all of a sudden, it was the real deal, and she didn't know how to handle it. So a lot of it's just fraudulent. Unfortunately, though, Those who often seek to contact departed spirits are so desperate, they want so much to believe, they're going to accept whatever they receive. Their emotions override their intellect, and they believe the unbelievable. If people don't know the true and living God, and they don't have His Word to guide them, they've got to find something to fill that gap. They've got to find something to help them make the decisions of life, and to endure the challenges of life. The explosion of the occult that we've seen in recent years, I think, is evidence that people are seeking, but they're seeking in the wrong direction. There's a spiritual need there, but they're trying to fill it with things that don't work. People who refuse to love the truth end up believing lies. I think that's why you see Spiritism really exploding and becoming more acceptable in our culture. Now, beyond the absurdity of Spiritism is the abomination of Spiritism. God clearly called all these occult practices detestable. That's a word we don't use very much today, is it? The literal meaning of the Hebrew word here is disgusting or nauseating. God is literally saying here, this stuff makes me sick. In another passage in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 18, verses 24 through 28, God even puts it in stronger terms, if you can believe that. He's speaking of the same thing. Telling the Israelites, when you go into the land of Canaan, I don't want you messing with the things they do. He says, do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, because this is how the nations that I am going to drive out before you became defiled. Even the land was defiled. So I punished it for its sin, and the land vomited out its inhabitants. Pretty graphic words there. But if you must keep my decrees and my laws, the native-born and alien living among you must not do any of these detestable things, for all these things were done by the people who lived in the land before you, and the land became defiled. And if you defile the land, it will vomit you out, just as it vomited out the nations that were before you. Glad I read that before I ate supper tonight. Just two chapters later in the same book, Leviticus chapter 20 says, I will set my face against the person who turns to mediums or spiritists to prostitute himself by following them, and I will cut him off from people. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. These are strong words. And these are not idle threats either. We don't have time to go into them in detail, but there are three specific instances where a king of Israel or Judah dabbled in these activities. And in each time, God dealt with them very severely. In fact, in two of them, the king lost his life the very next day. We mentioned King Saul. King Amaziah was another in 2 Kings 1, and King Manasseh in 2 Kings 21. Now, I wonder, why does God react so strongly to Spiritism? And this is why. When His children try to discern future events from sources other than Him, they're demonstrating a lack of faith in God. That's the bottom line. That's why we stay away from horoscopes and Ouija boards and mediums and seances and palm readers and all that stuff. It shows a lack of faith in God. You see, since the fall, God has permitted us to know good and evil. Yet He has His reasons for keeping some things secret from us. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, so that we may do all the words of this law. You say, why are some things concealed from us? I think it's because we couldn't handle it. Jesus told His disciples before He was taken and crucified, He says, I have much more to tell you, but you can't handle it now. Think about it. Think about the commercial that's out right now. Maybe some of you have seen it. The guy's sitting in a meeting and somebody comes over and hands him a note and it says, your heart attack is coming tomorrow. Could you imagine if that really happened? If somebody came along and said, you're going to have a heart attack next week? I would probably be wrong. I'd probably have it on the spot, right? Your life is going to end in 3 days? We couldn't handle it. And even if it isn't the end of our lives, could you imagine 10 years ago, If God had sat down with you and said, okay, now this is what's going to happen in the next 10 years, once again, we'd probably just pass out on the spot. Our lives would be so filled with anxiety and, oh, I can't handle, there's no way I could handle this. God doesn't give us 10 years in advance. He tells us, live one day at a time. One day at a time, one day at a time. And it's amazing the things that we can endure, amazing the things that we live through and overcome because we live one day at a time. It's when we don't want to live one day at a time, I want to see what's coming up. It's like the way I used to be with novels. I get so far in a novel, and then I think, I want to see what's happening. You know, read the end of it. Well, you kind of ruin it then. God won't let us do that because he knows we can't handle it. And beyond that, it shows a lack of faith and trust in him. This is what it means to walk by faith, not by sight. God says you take things one day at a time. Now, do we really think that an astrologer understands the universe better than our Lord? You know, when we are looking to the things God created instead of to the Creator, what does it say about us? What happens when we participate in these things? Chuck Swindoll warns, when you seek out a medium or a psychic, you become defiled. You become mentally contaminated, emotionally confused, and spiritually corrupted. This may not be your intention, but that is the result. Playing off our humanity or our humanly curious nature, the forces of darkness drop entertaining and innocent-sounding bait. But to take the bait is to compromise our spiritual protection. Whoever moves into this realm opens doors that later cannot be shut. Divine assistance exists as exits as defiling impurities enter in. You say, is it really that serious? I mean, come on. You know, you play a game, you know. Some of us, you know, I didn't, but I know some who did. When I was younger, you know, you get a Ouija board out and you ask these questions. No, it's all kinds of fun. Really? What happens is you're opening the door that evil spirits have access to us. And it is very, very dangerous. It's a dangerous thing to play with fire, especially when it's the fire from hell. Isaiah 47:13-14 states clearly, let your astrologers come forward. Those stargazers who make predictions month by month, surely they are like stubble. The fire will burn them up. That's what God thinks about those who dabble into these kinds of things. So we need to stay away from that. Now, let's bring this around as we close this evening to the good news. Back in Deuteronomy 18, gives the alternative to spiritism. And this is where the whole realm of prophecy comes in. Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 22, gives us what we might call a job description of a prophet. Remember the context here. God saying, don't do the things the Canaanites do, but the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, this is Moses speaking, from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the great assembly, when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see his great fire anymore, or we will die. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him into account. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, he must be put to death. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, then that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Don't be afraid of him. God says, don't you be turning to the spiritists. Don't be going to the mediums and the soothsayers and the fortune tellers and the palm readers. You listen to my prophet. This is the alternative to all of these spiritist practices that are going on today. He says that I will raise up a man from among you, and I will put my words into his mouth. And that's what you need to listen to. When those prophets stood up and said, "Thus says the Lord," they were speaking on behalf of God. And maybe you didn't like the prophet, maybe you didn't like his hairdo, or you didn't like the clothes that he wore, or you didn't like his style of speaking, but what he said, you better listen to, because they weren't his words, they were God's words. And God says, I want you to listen to my voice. Don't be listening to these other spirits. Don't be listening to all these crazy ways of predicting the future. You listen to me. And I'll tell you how I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to speak to you through prophets. And that's what he did. This is why there is prophecy. It is the way God communicates to his people. And as we saw last week, prophecy is not just about foretelling the future. It is about foretelling God's word. It is telling us, this is what I want for your life. Now, where does prediction fit in? Prediction fits in verifying whether a prophet is real. See, anybody can stand up and say, "Thus says the Lord," and then go rattle off something, whatever's coming off the top of his head. We got a lot of those people on television today. "The Lord revealed to me. He's given me a revelation." And then they go off and say stuff that has nothing to do with the Word of God. But in those days, they didn't have the Scriptures written down yet. They didn't have the complete written revelation of God. So when someone come along and say, "Well, I'm a prophet of God. You need people need to listen to me." They're like, "Well, how do we know whether to listen to this guy or not?" So what God did is he would give these predictions. Predictions of the future. And oftentimes they were very short term. It might be the next day, it might be the next week, it might be the next month. But God would tell this prophet, "You tell the people such and such is going to happen." And when it happened, the people said, "Aha, this person's from God." And the more that they prophesied and predicted, and the more those predictions came true, people recognized this is a true prophet of God. That is why there is so much predictive prophecy, particularly in the Old Testament. It was God's way of verifying that this is my man. And that's why oftentimes, and we're going to get into this in greater detail later in this series, oftentimes the prophecies that God gave through these prophets had a double or a multiple fulfillment. They fulfilled right in the present so that the people of his own day could believe him. But then God also used them to predict something way far in advance, and sometimes using the same prophecy. One of the great prophecies we hear around Christmas time, Isaiah 7:14, the virgin will deliver a child, and you know they'll call his name Emmanuel, right? And we know that that was a prediction of Jesus being born of the Virgin Mary. But do you know that prophecy was originally given for the people of Isaiah's own day? Because if you keep reading in that chapter, he says, by the time this child is old enough to eat solid food, these two kings you're worried about are going to be out of the picture. That has nothing to do with Jesus whatsoever. It was for that particular time. God was speaking to the people because they had these two foreign kings that were threatening to overrun them. And God says, I'm going to give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son. You're going to call his name Emmanuel, and by the time he's able to eat solid foods, these kings that you're worried about are going to be gone. And that's exactly what happened in the day of Isaiah. But that same prophecy took place 700 years later in the person of Jesus. Do you see how God worked back then? He worked through prophets, and in order to verify these prophets, he would give them short-term predictions that would come true in that prophet's own lifetime, oftentimes very shortly after he gave it, so that the people would know, yes, this is true. And do you know what the percentage of God's prophets are when it comes to prediction? 100%. When God uses a prophet, he's never wrong. And in fact, God said in that passage right there in Deuteronomy, if anyone claims to be a prophet and they miss it one time, don't listen to him. Don't waste your time with him. So when these crackpots get up and say, I'm predicting that Jesus is coming back in 1988 or whatever, they name a date, and the date passes and Jesus hasn't come, you know what you're supposed to do with that prophet? Forget about him. Get rid of his books. Get rid of his stuff. Don't listen to him. He is not from God. Someone says, I got a revelation from God, and then you go off and they say something and it doesn't come to pass, forget about him. Because God never misses. I know there are people, there are these predictors. She's been gone some years now, but Jeannie Dixon was a real famous one. You might remember her. You know, and she was famous because she predicted the assassination of President Kennedy. You know what? In the last 150 years, there's hardly been a president somebody hasn't tried to kill. They just got him. She probably predicted that every president up to Kennedy was going to be assassinated, but nobody bothered with that. And I think at one time she said that her prediction rate was 80%. You know what God calls that? Failure. If you have one prophecy that doesn't come true, you are a false prophet. And if there is ever one time that a person says they are speaking God's word and they are making a prediction and it doesn't come to pass, you can absolutely guarantee they are not from God, because God does not make mistakes. So in conclusion, God is displeased with any involvement in Spiritism. Beyond that, God is dishonored by any specific pursuit of the future that does not find its source in His Word. I realize that most people who begin dabbling in astrology or fortune-telling or Ouija boards don't take it all that seriously. You know, astrology has a captivating appeal. Most do it for fun or out of curiosity. But these simple, harmless-looking games begin a process that many can't handle, and they open doors that shouldn't be opened. Then it's only a matter of time before the dark forces of demonic power suck them in and they become ensnared. As the forces of darkness capture more of their minds, they become driven by these powers, consumed by them, ruled by them, rather than being governed by God. As Warren Wiersbe puts it, it's a serious thing to hear God's word and not respect it or obey it, for it is the word of the living God, the God of truth. The written scriptures are a priceless treasure. They teach us what we need to know about God, the way of salvation, and how to live godly lives to please Him. There is no substitute for the Word of God. Peter was right. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So as we move forward in this series of processing prophecy, we see the purpose of prophecy from this passage here in Deuteronomy. God wanted His people to rely on Him for their security about the future rather than looking to these other means of Spiritism. God gave prophecy in order that we might know His plan for the past, the present, and the future. But really what it comes all down to, it's a matter of trust. Who do we trust? Do we trust God or don't we? And if we trust God, He has given us all that we need right here in His Word, the Bible. So as we continue in our series, we're going to look into how to understand these prophecies and how, as we read what was said thousands of years ago, how do we interpret them for today? But we need to begin with the fact this is God's Word. This is what we base what we believe and how we live our lives. It's got to start right here. It's got to end right here. And we've got to have full faith and trust in our God. He knows what He's doing. Are we going to trust Him?